I love the flow of the action in the gospel this morning. It is the movement of our lives. The story today begins with Jesus and the disciples in a crowd as he puts before them another parable, that of wheat and weeds in a field. He then leaves the crowd, we read, and he goes into a house where the disciples approach and ask him to explain the parable. In similar fashion, we come in here to the Lord's house from being out there in the world. We follow the ways of Jesus and his disciples, who in today's gospel give us a key to unlock the deeper meaning of this parable. When they ask Jesus to explain the parable of the weeds, they reveal a prejudice that translates to all of us. For too often, all of us focus on the weeds in life, in the world, in others, and in ourselves. Remember, Jesus starts the parable talking about the kingdom of God, and a sower who plants good seed, good wheat, comes. But when the disciples ask Jesus to explain the parable, as they do, they show their concerns with those darn weeds. Explain to us the parable of the weeds. What about the wheat? What about the kingdom of God? Sound familiar? Don't despair. It is natural to focus on what messes up and threatens our lives. Weeds are not good. They choke the life from healthy plants. Anyone who gardens knows the weeds must go. And there are ways to be rid of them without damaging the good plants, regardless of what Jesus says in the parable. But you and I know the deeper meaning of the parable is not about agricultural methodology. It is, in fact, a parable with much to say about judgment. Judgment comes up a lot in the gospel. Jesus' parables often include references to end times and final judgments. It is the case today. Lessons about judgment are otherwise part of the journey for Jesus and the disciples. Judgment is overtly, sometimes, and often subtly at the heart of most interactions Jesus has with everyone he meets, and so too the disciples. Foreigners, sinners, the sick, the poor, even Jesus himself, these are just some of the people and instances judged along the way of the Lord. In the telling of this particular parable, Jesus reveals a central truth about judgment and the kingdom of God. Ultimately, judgment is God's, and at a time only God knows. In the meantime, what we can know and really need to know is that God has removed holy judgment from the realms of faithful human experience as the kingdom of God takes root and grows in us and among us. This means plainly, we are not to judge ourselves or others. This does not mean we are to be indiscriminate or lacking in discernment. Quite the contrary. A gift of the Spirit is wisdom. We are to receive wisdom and practice the use of it in seeing the world with the eyes of God. But we are not to judge. ourselves or others in terms of heaven and hell, salvation or damnation. To put a finer point on this, we need to talk about the difference between God and humankind. We are created in the image of God. And as children of God, we inherit kinship with Christ, and we are the recipients of God through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We are God-like, and that is how God would have it. But we are not God. And the place where this needs to be most unambiguously clear is in terms of judgment. God does judge. At the same time, we are not to judge ourselves or others in the way God judges simply because we are not God. How important is this? I believe if the faithful religious community could get this, one person at a time, slowly building a movement of discretionary non-judgment, we could and we would change the world. Is that me? Why is that? Because the absence of judgment allows love to take root and grow. Thus the parable. When people do not judge or otherwise condemn our neighbors, the door is open for the Spirit of the living God to flourish within us, for love to find us and we to find others as ourselves. For Christians, love is our default position. But too often we and our judgment get in the way of love. We get in the way when we judge ourselves harshly and when we transfer that self-loathing to others. Simply put, judgment stifles and chokes the flowering of love. Sadly, there is so much judgment going on, it just about passes for normal, if not acceptable, behavior. The world certainly knows these religiously judgmental attitudes. And when people are judged, it is hard not to judge back. And herein is the demise of the garden, if you will. As human judgment fouls the common ground we share and allows the disease of hatred to set in. Do I describe the nature of life in these times in which we live as you know it, as I do? Politically and ideologically, human judgment of others is at the root of apparently irreconcilable differences. But it is religious judgment that is most odious and destructive. Judgment is what Jesus comes to save us from. What then? Who then? What is wheat and weed? God knows, literally and figuratively, it is out of our hands, and we really need to let this go. In the meantime, there's much we can do. We can acknowledge that we are each of us a beautiful garden, and yet not without weeds clinging to us. They are inevitable, and they are a force to be reckoned with, but it is God's work. I have a favorite verse in the Psalms, Psalm 65:3. Our sins are stronger than we are, but you, God, will blot them out. God is able and God will. The mystery of faith is that God is moved by our weediness. The Apostle Paul writes how the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains to be free from the strangling bonds of sin and death. And now we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly while we wait for adoption. In our waiting, Paul urges in that same letter, let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another. As flawed beings, we demonstrate God's love for us as we are, making us become what God intends us to be, God-like. Faithful life is a complicated, mysterious mess a lot of the time. But there is a way to find needed simplicity and in it perfect love. It is to remove not the weeds, that's God's work, but to remove judgment of ourselves and others from the gardens of our lives. That also is God's work and only God's. It is our work to love God and our neighbors as ourselves. In confession, we admit that we have met the enemy, and it is us. We are, each of us, weedy, forgiven. What God looks for in us is not vengeance against our enemies, against ourselves or others, but humility, and that we are given unconditionally the blessed hope of salvation. So celebration is the dance of the redeemed, not because we're better than anyone else, but that we are not condemned and instead find ourselves loved by a merciful God. Let us, therefore, no longer pass judgment on one another. For in doing so, we get out of the way of God's love, changing the world one forgiven sinner at a time, beginning with me and you, as we go out again from this place, in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.